I am good, thank you.
Very nice. Thanks for making time for us today on this lovely, lovely day. You won't have to worry about your umbrella going to the meeting tomorrow night. That's a good problem to have. And since we've spoken to you last, just what is it that we need to know to make sure that we're all firing on all cylinders here in the city of Bloomington?
Well, last week we had further discussion on the historic designation issue, and we forwarded it on to our meeting of the 20th for final consideration. But I
now Sue Wanzer told me on Thursday morning that that meeting went late into the evening.
That did.
Why?
I think we went to about 11. I think that's probably a little too late for Sue Wanzer, but you know.
Well, she was clerking the meeting, so she had to actually do some work there.
That's right.
So were you impressed by the turnout, or what were your thoughts on that?
No, I think we did have a good turnout. Mostly people who argued for adopting the SHARD, which is the state survey. And as I said, we forwarded that to our meeting on the 20th, but things have changed, and we'll probably hear it at a special session on the 27th. So, but we did have a good discussion, and, you know, it's a very complex problem because the state has done a survey which eliminated some of the properties that were done in the city's 2001 and 2007 survey, and so people are concerned about that fact, which
survey takes precedence?
That's correct.
The state does?
Yeah. Well, I guess it does in effect, but because we have done surveys in 2001 and 2007, and because we have demolition delay, that's where the concern lies. So in terms of precedent, that's a question I don't have the answer for, really.
You're like me, you're not a lawyer and you don't play one on the radio.
Well, it would make sense, exactly. It would make sense that we adopt the state survey, but the problem is, as I just mentioned, that it has dropped out some of the properties that we as a community had gone through the process and decided we thought were noteworthy. So that's, I think, where that's the part of the discussion that we keep coming around to. So we're working our way through it.
So Tim, for tomorrow night, it's a committee of the whole meeting then?
That is correct.
And what's on your agenda?
We have two things on our agenda. One is an appropriation ordinance, and that is to bring money forward from the 2015 Alternative Transportation Fund back into the city sidewalk committee's funds for work in 2016. That was money that had been appropriated but was not used. So that's Mayor Hamilton and his office has said, yes, you may take that money back and put it back into sidewalk work. Typically, it would go back into the general fund and be used in that manner. So this brings it back into the council sidewalk committee. So we will be able to do more projects. And then we are also doing ordinance 1605, and this is to amend our salary, what is referred to as our salary ordinance, and that is to combine a couple of halftime positions and do some staff, title changes in the Department of Public Works.
Business cards adjustment?
Yeah, it's basically realigning some positions that have been vacant, and the mayor sees a better opportunity to use them if we can combine them together. So that's pretty much what we're doing there.
Tim, let me take you back to the sidewalk thing because I'm somewhat intrigued. With the extra money, you got sidewalks to fix. Is there a mandate from the state or feds that you've got to go in and put these cuts in at all the corners so that wheelchairs and such could get up those curbs, what used to be curbs at intersections?
Yes. That is American Disability Act work.
Okay. Yes. So you have no choice in that. You have to do that.
We have to do that, and we actually have to do that when we repave a street if they're not already there. So that's why you will see when a street is getting close to being paved, you'll see people go out and take out those corners and put in the new the new corner. That's the reason for that. You know, Bloomington has been pretty diligent on doing that in the past, but it's, you know, we have to bring it up to the federal standards, and that's what we're doing. So, yeah, that's a good question, and it's, you know, one that they keep working at. So, yeah.
So you have a list of all the intersections that have to be fixed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There's definitely a list.
All three of them, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. 300 pages.
Now,
yeah, there is a list of, basically there's an inventory of all streets and sidewalks within the community, and actually, I believe the sidewalk inventory is being updated in 2016 as we speak, so.
Now, yeah. you mentioned to me something that I think is going to get a lot of people's attentions, and that is we know about the no cigarettes in a lot of public places, but now you and the county are going to work together on something on e-cigarettes?
That is correct. I just got a message from our council attorney that the city and the county are looking at their smoking ordinances to deal with the e-cigarette issue.
So that's when somebody emails me a cigarette, I can't smoke it in the city, right?
That's correct.
Okay, good.
Don't roll up that paper.
Or the county.
Don't roll up the internet.
Yeah.
No, this will be in public places, so, you know, restaurants, bars, that sort of thing.
Has that been a loophole in what you already had? Has that been going on?
Well, if you think about it, our smoking ordinance goes way, way back. As a matter of fact, Bloomington was the first in the state, too much consternation, but it actually turned out to be a really good thing. So, e-cigarettes were not even a gleam in their father's eye.
They weren't. Our forefathers' eyes didn't have that. Didn't have that figured out. Because I think something doesn't have to do with some burning of something or such.
So that I understand is in the works, and then also the public safety tax that we talked about a little bit last week.
For the dispatch center?
Yes, and that will be the town of Ellettsville, the county of Monroe, and the city of Bloomington.
How far apart are you on that, Tim?
You know, I haven't. I'm not part of that discussion,
okay. So
I don't know. But I don't think it's very far apart at all. I think all governing bodies see a value in doing it. And the money will not only be used for the dispatch center, the way I understand it, it will also be used for, you know, available for other public safety initiatives. So, you know, it's broader than just dealing with the dispatch center, which is a countywide operation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
I have a question for you, and I don't know that you'll know the answer to this.
Ooh, get him, Keith.
There was a story in the Daily Student about the blue lights that colleges have in their parking lots. And
I know nothing about it, but go ahead.
Well, it's a safety factor. Ivy Tech's got them now, too. And I wasn't aware of this, but when you press the button, it rings through to 911. And the reason it does that is because there are times when the college is closed or there's nobody around, and so there's no one there to come to your aid.
If you have an emergency, I would hope it would ring to 911.
Mm-hmm. So that's an additional, you know, and the story in the Daily Student was talking about how little the use of those has been for emergencies per se, that a lot of times it's just somebody playing around with it. So
yeah, that's probably true. But that must be linked directly to the dispatch center.
Well, that's what I was getting at, that that gives you even more of a load then.
So then they would know exactly what blue light has been pushed.
Right.
Yeah, and what box has been hit.
Right. Dispatched to it, yeah.
And so, and of course, then it would link back to that they would have a way of calling the college and deal with it that way too. So.
That's right, yep.
Have you voted yet, Tim?
No, I haven't voted yet.
You gonna wait for election day?
No, I can't because I work part of the election process. My wife Sue and I work at the county clerk's office counting ballots, so it's best to vote before.
That's right. You don't want that day to get away from you.
That's right.
Now, let me. Can I ask you a dumber question?
Yes.
We've got all this electronic stuff in our world, electronic cigarettes, email. Why are you counting ballots?
It's because those people who vote by absentee. So
you should be out of there in about 12 minutes.
One,
two, three, four, five. There you go. We're out of here.
It's probably true.
How many did you have last election process?
Well, I couldn't work the last election because I was
you were running
in that election. That's correct.
They frown on that, huh?
Exactly.
Tim, speaking about that, do you have any idea how many of those ballots come in from people in the military?
No, I don't. But I do know that they do come in because basically what happens is you create a team of a Republican and a Democrat,
right,
who sit there and actually go through. You open the envelopes, pull out the ballots, separate all the necessary parts, and then it goes to the counting room, so to speak. And so we do see military ballots come before us as a team, but mm-hmm. There are multiple teams, and we're only there to move the paper through the process, so we're not part of the actual counting. So no, I have no idea how many military ballots come in, but they do come through.
Right.
Yes.
Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. Tim serves on the Bloomington City Council. There's new Banking Front Page news today. There is a new, brand new, head of the City of Bloomington Utilities Department this morning.
Yes, there is. His name is Vic Kelson, and Mayor Hamilton appointed him yesterday. So I believe he takes over towards the end of the month.
Right, the final Monday, April 25th, will be his first day in charge.
So that'll be probably at a utility service board meeting on that day. He'll probably join us, and I sit on that board representing.
Well, that's why I was asking.
Yeah,
throwing that out there for you. Now, when this appointment process takes place, nobody's involved with that besides the mayor, correct?
I believe the mayor has a team.
Sure, but I mean, it doesn't have to pass. His nomination doesn't have to pass through the Senate and be filibustered to death.
That is correct. Although I do think the Utility Service Board does have a voice vote in just saying, yes, we accept this nominee or this appointment. It's actually an appointment, a mayoral appointment. And, you know, by state statute, the mayor can select his department heads, his or her department heads. And those appointments go along with the mayor, so they serve at the pleasure of the mayor. So if the mayor gets tired of the way a particular department head is not functioning, then they can say, well, you know, we've had a good time, but it's time for you to go. So,
time for a change. And then when the
exactly.
mayor, and then when we saw, like, obviously in the last election, when the mayor is changed, if he is changed, then he has the carte blanche to put in people in any position you want in those jobs. So just trying to give people a little insight on how this works, and it's not an elected position. It is not it's just an appointed position. So
that is correct.
A little bit different than they should be. And obviously with the water situation going on, you don't have any hiccups or any questions about anything with Bloomington's water, correct?
We do know that they are working on it. We do know that they are monitoring it. And that process has been going on for some time. It's a very complex system, and there are a lot of variables. You know, temperature affects things pretty dramatically. Time of year affects things pretty dramatically. Amount of rainfall we have affects things pretty dramatically. So as I said, it's complex, but it's also ever evolving and changing. So that's the challenge.
And this is the treated water. This is not the This is the stuff you put in it to make sure it's good enough to drink and healthy enough to drink, correct?
It's the water that comes to your tap is what is the concern, right?
Sure these parts per million or whatever it is. I should stop talking now because I'm just going to get in the way of all of it. But as long as it keeps being monitored and it runs at levels that are acceptable to everyone, we're okay, right?
That is correct.
All right. That's good news.
And the goal for the utility is to, as we saw in a recent report, that the levels of certain chemistry within the water is bumping up against the EPA limit. And the goal of the utility is to obviously get that as low as possible, get it as drop it down as far as they can. So again, it's a very complex system and it's an ever-changing system. So it's constant monitoring and adjusting to try to get to those levels. You know, one of the things that did affect our water last year and during the spring-summer season was that the what is referred to as the Redbud tank, that's the tank up on the 45-46 bypass around 17th Street.
Right. They had to repaint it or redo the inside of it?
That's right. It was taken offline and was completely rehabilitated. They stripped the interior and repaint the exterior, add all the latest features that they can, engineering features that they have available to them. But by taking that one tank off a system, that created problems all throughout the system because pressures have to be adjusted and water has to be redirected to, you know, to reach its destination. So, you know, that just added that was a big curveball to the system that had to be accommodated. So you know, as I said, it's complex and it's ever changing. So, but we do have great staff and they work very hard at trying to keep it down as low as possible, and that's where we are. The other part of it, I think, is too that the standards keep changing and they ratchet them up, so it makes.
Well, they do that for our benefit, don't they?
Well, of course, and that raises the bar. It makes it that much more difficult. So, you know, the goal is to have as clean of water as humanly possible, and that's what they're doing. So, and we also have to consider our source. I mean, our source is basically Monroe Lake, and it's we deal with surface water. Other communities use well water. You know, they drill down and pump water out of the aquifer. So that's a different type of water than surface water. So, you know, again, it's complex.
Well, good. We wouldn't have it any other way here, would we?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we always need a challenge.
We exactly do. So, yeah, we'll bring our biology degrees. And remind everybody, the meeting is tomorrow night. What time?
7:30. It will be a committee of the whole, which means we get to work right away. We will have those two ordinances on the table, and I expect it'll be a fairly short meeting, actually. So,
well, you have the inside scoop on all that, so we'll keep our eyes on what happens.
I hate to guesstimate those, because the minute you say it'll be a short meeting, it becomes a long meeting.
You're usually right, though. That's the good news. That's why we like the inside info.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Can we do it again next Tuesday?
Okay. See you next week.